Trust versus tragedy. Hashtag girls rule. Yep, even back then. In an article detailing the ways in which Catherine Trotter transforms Avra Behn's 1688 novella Agnes de Castro or The Force of Generous Love, Dawn M. Good lays down how hashtag feminist Trotter's adaptation is. We know by now that the play's central relationship is between Princess Constantia and Agnes, and Good argues that the triumph of this romance, which is the clean alternative to the female equivalent of bromance, by the way, is indicative of homoerotic desire and moral transcendence. Well, we know what that first bit means, but moral transcendence? We're guessing by that that she means that the girls, in their love and unwavering trust of one another, transcend the messy, vengeful world of tragedy. You can read more about how Constantia is a misfit in the world of tragedy in our post here. But Constantia and Agnes aren't the only girls in this tragedy, and we can't say the same Morales followed by the plotting Elvira and Bianca. What Trotter achieves then is a play in which the tragic action is both instigated and resisted by women, affording them most of the agency in the play. In this play, no monarch's power is so vast as woman's empire. The conquerors of the world submit to them. In other words, girls rule. Good reminds us that, despite the entire plot revolving around attempts to put the two in rivalship with one another, Constantia doesn't doubt Agnes for long before concluding that her BFF just wouldn't go there. This is the key difference from Behn's novel, in which Constantia doubts Agnes's loyalty and dies of grief. This progression might well be interpreted as Trotter championing trust over tragic action, and that Elvira and Bianca yank this play back into the realms of tragedy. Bianca probably describes Constantia's unaffected attitude best when she furiously feeds back to Elvira about how the letter plot goes down. "I'll give it her," the weary princess said, and took it with an air so unconcerned. She plainly showed she feared not what she found, and that a friendly freedom made her read it, no spark of jealous curiosity. Clearly, Constantia is sure of Agnes's love for her enough not to be concerned about her potential emotional infidelity. This is one of the reasons she makes it a rubbish tragic hero. And her motivation for reading the letter was not out of malicious hope of catching Agnes out. Instead, it seems to be because of a sense of friendly freedom, which we reckon means she knows Agnes so completely that she knows she'd have her permission to read the letter. You know, like when your best friend has your Facebook password, but it's cool because you know they won't tag your ex in a poop emoji meme. It's easy to forget that this play has two central female relationships. I mean, the second is the evil duo we'd like to forget. The above quote shows how Elvira and Bianca are attempting to pit jealousy, a primary motivator in tragedy, against trust, and trust is clearly winning. What's interesting is that even this scheming duo have a trusting bond broken only by death. Bianca even tries to cover for a delirious Elvira when she blurts, "She, Constantia, says I'll own myself her murderer. He'll be the fool then. Nobody saw it." It's only when she's on her deathbed due to Elvira's fatal mistake that she admits justice is punishing my crimes by her who caused them. So there you have it. For better or for worse, these ladies stick together. And Trotter does a fantastic job of emphasizing the hashtag girl power in the narrative. The key difference between these two duos, then, is the values on which the trust is founded, which brings us back to this moral transcendence malarkey. As the passive loving relationship between Agnes and Constantia is so anti-tragedy, because, you know, tragedies rely on someone seeking revenge and slash or getting stabbed, it's interesting to consider how the second female relationship is functioning to pull an otherwise hunky-dory play into the realm of tragedy. Since one of our protagonists pops her socks pretty early on, we might say that Elvira best fulfills the role of the tragic hero, as we'll follow her through her pursuits and schemes, while Bianca also fulfills certain features of it. She admits that her avarice led her to obey Elvira, and Elvira is clearly motivated by jealousy. What Trotter's adaptation perhaps does best then is celebrating the power of trust and friendships between women, while showing them to be strong enough to both resist fatal temptation and to revel in it.